welcome everybody to Halos in the Infield. We are going to be kicking off because there's finally regular season baseball to talk about. I'm bringing a face you probably don't know. This is a longtime friend of mine. His name is William. And why did we bring him on? Well, he's an Orioles fan. And as all of you guys know, the Angels are starting off the year at the beautiful Camden Yards. Now, William, before we get into your Baltimore Oriole fandom, all that, your background, and you introduce yourself, what's your opinion on Camden Yards?
Well, obviously, I think it's the best stadium. I will say there's only one experience I've had that really, I think, matches that. And unfortunately, as much as I don't really like Petco, and I think Petco has really, really been ruined by taking away the beach and all the features, seeing the outside of it from the Coronado Bridge is a beautiful shot. And you don't really have anything like that at any of the other stadiums I've been to, especially not Fenway. So I got to give, you know, props to that. But aside from that, I don't think there's any feature of any park I'd rather have than at Camden. Except I haven't been to PNC Park, and that's what everybody says is.
I'm going this year. I bought my plane ticket. Cool. I'm going this year.
Cool. Sorry you have to see the Pirates play there, but, you know, it's still supposed to be a good stadium.
I get to see the Angels play the Pirates.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, so cool. a mutual buddy of ours, we went to spring training with him in 2016. I won't name drop him, but I think you know who I'm talking about.
Still got pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, there you go. So he invited me. I didn't think I was going to be able to go. So we are flying into Cleveland on May 5th to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And to go see the Angels play the Guardians. And then from there, we are driving the 2 hours down to we're going to Canton, Ohio for the Football Hall of Fame, which, I mean, they want to do that, whatever. That's cool. And then we're going to go to Pittsburgh. So I'm excited. Not about going to Cleveland. I'm honestly just going because it's on the baseball bucket list. I have to go. But I'm super excited for PNC. It's widely regarded as the best stadium in baseball, so I'm excited. That'll be number 19 for me. I thought it was 18. I recounted it's number 19.
That'll be really cool. I am envious of that because, yeah, Camden Yards is always in the top three along with PNC Park, and then I feel like they always throw in, like, Wrigley or something that may not deserve it, but just, again, not crapping on Wrigley, but
Wrigley's top three for me. Top three. No, Wrigley's top three for me. I think at 17 ballparks, like, I have enough of a sample size now where I can be like, okay, yeah, top three for me. Coors Field is my favorite. Number two is Camden. Number three is Wrigley.
Oh, interesting. Nobody puts Coors in their top three, though.
But Coors is beautiful because you can sit above. It's, you know, you can sit a mile high above sea level, so that's cool as it is. And you can go to the outfield. When you're sitting on that purple row, which signifies you're a mile above sea level, and you can see the Rocky Mountains and, like, the cityscape. And to me, like, that's really cool. And in the outfield, they have, like, the little waterfall, and they have the little, you know, green patches with, like, all the trees. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right where the bullpens are, where, God, who was it? Took a leak out there in center field a couple years ago. I forgot who it was, but one of the players went out there and took a leak.
You know, I'm sure that's only been documented once. I'm sure that happens quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it happens all the time. But I can only think of this one time where it was, like, made famous. They, like, zoomed in. The guy's all waving at the camera as he did it. Yeah. And don't forget the one time where somebody was very clearly using a racial slur. And he's like, no, I said Dinger, the mascot. Do you remember that?
No, I have no clue what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, that guy should have been banned from every Major League Baseball stadium. But he was like, no, wow. I was talking about the mascot. And I was like, okay, whatever you say, brother.
Wow.
You should not be allowed inside of a baseball stadium ever again. But, yeah, Coors Field, top three for me, along with Camden. And Camden also, I don't know if you got to drive around the freeway bridges around there. But same thing, you have a view there. You can see the stadium from the bridge, close to the river there. What is it? Or the Chesapeake Bay, sorry.
And it still does look really good. I don't mean to downplay that, but I was just trying to say, like, genuinely, I don't think there's any shots, anything that comes close except for that one. And it's not even of Petco itself. It's just how it's framed with all the buildings around it that really does make it look nice. But
That's fair. I mean, I think
you would inside of Camden any day over Petco, that's for sure.
And the one thing that I love about Camden, so besides that warehouse and how they built it into the stadium, very similar to what they did with Petco Park and the Western Metal Building, I love the little like center field area there where they have the little barbecue place. That barbecue out there is delicious. The crab fries, delicious. And then all the statues they have out there, really awesome. Yeah, I have a photo with the Cal Ripken Jr. statue. And yeah, that stadium is just so beautiful.
Yeah, I have about 300 pictures of me posing with every single statue in different poses. So yeah, I definitely spent hours over there.
That's fair. Yeah, like I said, I definitely took a good amount of time to appreciate the history. That's like the one thing I love about older stadiums is the fact that, you know.
It's only 3 years older than us. Hold on. Don't call it old.
It's getting up there, man.
That's a problem.
Yeah, no, exactly. But that's like the crazy part. The fact that like Baltimore is like what? Like one of the trending towards the upper half of the older ballparks in baseball now. And I mean, it doesn't look old at all. You can say the same thing about Petco. You know, Petco turns 20 years old this year. And I mean, you and I remember vividly when it opened.
I remember it being built.
Your dad was a part of some of the building, right? Yeah, you guys have a family break and all that.
I don't like to admit that, but yeah, we do.
You don't? That's like one of like the fun facts, like your dad shares.
They didn't give us enough room to have every family member, so I'm Will. And you know, I never go by Will. So every time I see it, I'm just like, can I just chisel over one of my brother's names?
Which everyone pissed me off the most.
Exactly.
And now you're forced to be Will forever until Petco Park gets torn down.
At least Will Myers isn't on the team anymore, so I don't have a connection to that.
That's fair. People are like, Will Myers is part of this family? That's crazy.
And I know you said the Football Hall of Fame, but we're not going to go on this tangent, I promise. But can we just mention, like, let's say they keep it consistent. They don't put in Pete Rose. They don't put in Ohtani. Can you believe those two are not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but Homer Simpson is?
How? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's there. You can Google it. He has his own cardboard standee where he's in Cooperstown uniform and a hat and everything. And, yep, he has his own little nook.
I want to go to Cooperstown. That's like above any baseball stadium. That's like at the top of my list. It's just, why on earth did they put it in Cooperstown? Out of absolutely everywhere in the gosh darn world, they picked Cooperstown.
You know, I'm sure there's a reason for that, a reason for that, but I have no idea what it could be.
It's the same thing with the Pro Football event. Was like football event in Canton? Is there something I don't know? Why is it Canton, Ohio?
I don't know.
Pick some desirable places. I mean, LA is not desirable, but I mean, at least it's a big city. New York City.
At least it's also desirable for the weather. You know, there's not going to be a tornado that comes and takes it over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we brought William on to talk about the Baltimore Orioles. Now, the Baltimore Orioles are not exactly a team that we've seen the Angels open up a season with. We're used to seeing a lot of Oakland A's. So I'm a little excited that they are going to be in Baltimore. So what can you tell Angels fans who might not be familiar with the Orioles? What are like a couple of key players they should look out for?
Well, especially with the starter had never been in Baltimore before. That's going to be interesting. There's a lot of question marks, not necessarily question marks if they're talented or not, but just how they're going to do in the stadium. I'm pretty sure I was reading that a few of them have never even been inside Camden Yards before. So that's definitely, that's not what you want. That's not something super desirable. But, you know, that Burns guy that they got from Milwaukee, he's supposed to be somebody who's just going to set the league on fire again this year. So I'm really got high hopes, especially because the guy who usually would be the starter, John Means, he's still recovering from injury. And also, ever since they implemented that rule where they can't have sunscreen or any sticky foreign substance on their arms, he hasn't really been the same. We saw that with a few pitchers across the league, but I really noticed that with him. So I don't want to say that he's not talented, but I haven't really got to see what I would like since that has happened. So it's really interesting. I don't think we have a true person that I have total faith in to start a game. Like right now, our roster goes to the World Series. I don't know who I'd pick.
That's fair. And obviously, as a fan, you want to be able to pick your team. But as Daniel
Yeah.
Tosh said, you can never gamble with your heart. So I'll say
Always
this.
gamble with my heart.
I've seen John Means pitch. When I went to Camden Yards, this was in 2021, and John Means was facing the Oakland A's. And this was when the Oakland A's were, kind
Pretty
of a
good.
little trailing down still, Because what year was it? 2022 when they tore it down? So the Orioles, or sorry, the Athletics still had some talent on that team. So with that being said, John Means had a no-hitter going into like the fifth inning. And I was
Right.
like, dude, this guy is good. And that was really like his breakout year. But then he got, it was Tommy John surgery, correct?
You know, a good question. I can't remember if he ha I think he was able to avoid Tommy John. I don't remember 100%, but he had more than one injury. So even if he did have Tommy John and he came back from that one already, I can't remember. But yeah, he's had a plague of injuries for as little time as he's spent in the majors. He's had way too many.
Yeah, I'm trying to see real quick while you talk. It said that, well, in February of this year, he suffered a flare-up with his surgically repaired left elbow.
All
So
right.
I don't know if it was
Yeah, I think I
Tommy
can't
John,
remember
but it was
100%
Tommy.
now. I think he avoided Tommy John, but he still had to have it repaired. But
Okay.
that brings up one major thing, because I'm sure anybody who follows baseball, even if you don't even know that the Orioles are in Baltimore, you've probably heard Jackson Holliday is not going to be on the opening day roster.
Yep,
And a
I know.
lot of people were shocked by that. I am personally all for it. We kind of brought John Means up when there was no reason to, and I don't mean from the minors, just like put him in that kind of like he's our ace, you know, put him on a pedestal. And there was not really a need to, and I think he had a lot of pressure on himself, and I think that helped lead to the injury. Of course, just wear and tear is going to do that no matter what, but I would definitely like to see him sit down there for as long as possible so we don't risk that. I mean, we had a bunch of players that I can think of. Chance Sisko, being from Corona, California, who was drafted by the Orioles and was supposed to be our big star, you know, the original version of Adley Rutschman, although I would say the expectations weren't as high with him, but still, he was a big talked about prospect. So to see how that went, I mean, I don't think there's anybody besides an Oriole fan who even knows that name. So, and he's number 15. It's weird that you have an orange 15 jersey staring at me while I say that, but, yeah, I'd much rather
You
see that
got me
happen.
that.
Oh yeah, that's funny. Don't admit that. I don't like him. But yeah, I'd much rather see him down there in the minors than, you know, get blown out in the first day. And same thing with John Means, you know, we put so much pressure on these guys and it's like, man, it's going to be a long, long season. If he comes up at the All-Star break, that will still help us get to the playoffs, you know? So a lot of people are freaking out about that. I don't think it's anything to worry about, and I'm in favor of that. So, you know, not to answer your question in the complete opposite, but somebody you don't have to worry about on opening day is Jackson Holliday.
So you brought up John Means. Do you think a guy like him can, be the guy that the Orioles organization was hoping he'd be a couple years ago? Maybe now that he doesn't have that pressure of needing to be the guy in Baltimore. You get what I'm saying, right? Some guys get called up and they're like, "Hey man, you have the keys to the kingdom. You gotta be the guy." And now that the Orioles are a great team, not just a good team, they are a great team, and they're going to be for years to come. Does
Well,
that maybe
we'll see.
the lack of pressure help him get to that level again?
I don't know. I think it's going to go one of two ways. If Burns is doing really well and he's the number one and he's the one that everybody's talking about, even if Means returns to where he is, but he's just not putting up the numbers that Burns is, I am afraid that's going to put Means the opposite. Now, hopefully, I have no idea what I'm talking about here and he'll make me look like an idiot very quickly, but I feel like he now is craving that pressure, and he wants to be the guy that they're talking about. And so far, they're not going to be. He's not going to be. So I really don't know. I think he definitely has the potential because he showed it when there wasn't anybody else in front of him. But now that there's the competition, who knows how it could swing. That's terrible. Right.
No. I get it. So real quick, before we get more and more into it, let's take a quick second to talk a little bit about you and your background as an Orioles fan. So you grew up in San Diego and you were a Padres fan growing up. And a little through time, you started to realize basically the same thing I did because, you know, I was a Padre fan growing up, like the Angels. You know, I liked that they were owned by Disney. I liked that they were the team that was up north. And for you, it was a Little League connection to the Orioles, correct?
Yeah.
So the Orioles were kind of always like, you know, your second team. And then you and I kind of had that switch. I think yours was a little bit before mine. And then I had the flip-flop of, okay, well, hey, this team over here is spending money and they're winning all the time. And then the Padres used to develop talent and trade it away. So it seemed like your kind of rise was the same thing. But what really was it that drew you to being an Orioles fan?
So like you said, the main thing was the first team I played for in Little League when I was four was an Orioles team. And I just really liked the logo and the colors. So keep in mind, the Padres at that time were really dark blue with a little bit of orange and a little bit of white and pretty plain logo. They weren't even really using the Friar. Now, personally, I hate the damn Friar. If they got rid of that, I would be very happy.
But are you just bitter because of what he did to your hat?
So we'll get into that, but no, I never liked him. All right. I mean, there's so much that goes in with that. You know, everybody gives Christopher Columbus crap for the stuff he did. Those people kind of, you know, weren't the best to natives either. Why are we allowed to celebrate them? Anyway, point is, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, if you like the Friar or not, comparing the plain SD to the Friar, the SD was not a great logo, right? So they just were really bland. And when I saw the Orioles logo and everything and their colors and how bright and vibrant, because keep in mind also back then it had the baseball patch logo. So it was the green behind the bird. It wasn't just the bright orange. So that's what the first attraction was. And then not even so much about winning or losing, because obviously when I made the switch was at the worst time in Orioles history. It was just how their fans treated, you know, the players and everything. For example, Miguel Tejada, he was caught cheating with steroids and it was a stain. But you know what? Every single Oriole fan still talked about how great he was and how they liked him. And I don't agree with that. I think there should have been a little, you know, backfire against him. But then on the other hand, you have Trevor Hoffman, who's the only reason that people even know who the Padres are in some circumstances. And you just completely turn your back against him and talk crap about him. And that was the main thing, is that I just couldn't handle, you know, you get one good player out of 80 in seven seasons and you're going to talk like that about him. Now, of course, Jake Peavy would come along too. But, you know, Trevor was really the star after Tony retired.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. It definitely, once Tony retired, it definitely became Trevor's franchise, really. Yeah. And obviously now, you know, the city of San Diego still celebrates Tony Gwynn, but obviously he's no longer there, unfortunately. So Trevor Hoffman has kind of now become, once again, like the public face of the organization. But I love that they still celebrate Tony. But I know for me, the biggest thing that I didn't like about being a Padres fan growing up as a young kid was the fact that every time you went to a Padres game, like, nobody cared. Nobody gave a shit. Nobody wanted to be there. You know, nobody wore Padres stuff. And I'm sure you remember that, especially like the Qualcomm days. Like, you were caught dead seeing people. Like, maybe a hat, sure. You know, you get like dads with like the free T-shirt kind of thing. And then especially like in the early Petco Park days, it got even worse. And then it wasn't really until like, what, 2015, when they got like Matt Kemp and Derek Norris and Justin Upton, when people in San Diego actually started to care about the Padres on paper. And then you saw Padres stuff everywhere, and then they started to suck, and then people stopped caring. And then all of a sudden, cut like 2020, that's when everyone started caring about the Padres again. And it became, quote-unquote, a baseball town. Like it was in the late 90s. And I hated that. It was such a trigger to me because, you know, I have enough friends in San Diego, you know, my dad who, like, you know, he's been a Padres fan through and through. So, like, I knew who the Padres fans were. So when they started making the playoffs and all those people that you and I went to, like, middle school and high school with were, like, cheering for the Padres, all of a sudden I'm like, get out of here. You don't care about the Padres. You never did.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I'll say 2016, a year after everybody really started to care, that was when the All-Star game came. Yeah, and, yeah. You know, San Diego never really got any attention for anything major. So it was really cool to see that they were actually getting treatment. And, you know, you and I went, we had a lot of the fan fest before the All-Star game, and we saw the celebrity All-Star game. You know, it was really cool to have that energy. So that year,
right? Too right.
Yeah, hell yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That was so fun. We saw Drew Pomeranz, and I was like, dude, this guy's gonna get traded like by the end of the All Star break. It's like a day later.
Yeah,
he was on the Angels this spring training and got cut. Did you know that?
Was he?
I swear, Drew Pomeranz. Yeah, he just got cut like 3 days ago.
Why did they even give him a shot?
I think he came out of retirement for it. I'm not even kidding. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Anyway, there's three things I'll never forget from that. One, that it just happened to be everybody was in a Chevy, and I was like, wow. You know, you don't usually get to see that, especially with having Toyota sponsor most of the West Coast stadium. So that was really cool. And then you talking about Pomeranz, and then me, because remember, this happened right after Jake Peavy threw the ball. Or, sorry, Buster Posey threw the ball into Jake Peavy's glove when he wasn't looking, and as Posey went by, I was like, hey man, nice throw. And he turned around and like was like, yeah, waved at us and shit. That was freaking cool.
Yeah, that was a really, really fun like week.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And those are definitely some memories that I'm gonna remember for a long time. I'm hoping to go this year since it's coming to Arlington. It's like 25 minutes away from my house. So I'm really, really hoping to go, you know, catch the parade, go to the fan fest, and at least the home run derby, because I know you were there for that too. And the home run derby is fun to be at.
We
saw kind of a lame one, though.
Well, I don't really enjoy that. You know, I'd much rather have an All-Star game where they have the competition of people throwing it from the warning track and trying to get home. You know, that's way more appealing to me. The only reason
like
I went
to the NHL and the NBA?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I got to say, the NHL has some questionable rules, but, yeah, they definitely know how to have an entertaining All-Star game. But, yeah, you know, the only reason I went to that home run derby is because I got free tickets. I never, ever would have gone on my own. And, like you said, they just let Giancarlo do whatever he wanted, and that was really disappointing. So, it also sucked that Trumbo was the, you know, he was going to the finals if he could get past Carlo, who shouldn't have been there. So that made it a little bit worse.
Don't forget the fact that we got to watch Will Myers get hit by his brother. He got hit like in the back.
He got hit more than once.
Yeah.
But there was the one good one. And I think he got hit in the elbow or something. And he, I remember he just put his head back and he was like, come on.
His brother got the yips.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! my whole point with that was that year, you know, even still being an Orioles fan, there was the Padres were not on the same level. It was not close, right? But I did try to become a little bit more of a Padres fan that year, so we can get more attention to San Diego, regardless of what team's playing there. And man, we could not even get it sold out for the freaking All-Star game. It was so embarrassing and stupid, and it just pissed me off all over again. And then, like you said. Oh, what? Because we have freaking Steroid Boy, now everybody suddenly wants to be a fan? Fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's... Petco Park is definitely a good venue for an All-Star game. I don't think anybody would argue that. But it's going to be really interesting to see how long San Diego is going to have to wait to get another one. I mean, it took them a long time. It took them almost 20 years to get the first one. It was, what, 16 years in? Something like that. Into building a, you know, quote unquote brand new ballpark for them to even get an All-Star game. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think there's going to be one in California for a while anymore. Because everyone's hosting one. What's that?
You don't think the Dodgers will get one?
They just got one.
True.
Last year?
But they didn't get that one, right? Didn't they take that away from somebody else, or am I not remembering that correctly?
That was Atlanta. Atlanta was going to get it, and then they gave it to Colorado. That was in 2021.
All right. Never mind that.
And then 2022, it was in L.A. 2023 was in Seattle, and then this year it's in Arlington. Where is it next year?
I literally don't care, so I don't That's know.
That's fair. So anyway, let's bring it back now a little bit to the Orioles present day. So you, as an Orioles fan, what are you most excited about this year for the Orioles?
Man, honestly, and I think I'm well in the minority of fans, but I'm just so nervous. There's so much going on right now. The owner, you know, Peter Angelos, he passed away, but he really hadn't been in control for a little bit. Really, it was his son, John, that was doing the day-to-day stuff. And he said he wasn't going to sell it. He's not going to abandon his father's dreams. And then he did. And ironically, you know, Peter Angelos was a lawyer, so now it's going to another lawyer. I don't really know much about this David guy that's going to be taking it over, but just any time there's a leadership change like that, it's so scary of what could happen, you know? Especially being around the Padres, or you see so many people that are, we're going to come in and change it and make it great. And then last minute, it turns out I'm not even going to be on the board, you know? And so many just terrible, terrible decisions. I'm really afraid of what's going to happen. I'm also definitely in the minority. Obviously, I don't live in Baltimore. So if they were to move to another city, I would probably, unless they go to Montreal, if they go to Canada, they're dead to me. I'm having a fire sale. Got a bunch of autograph stuff. Be ready for that if that happens. But, you know, like, for example, they would have gone to Vegas. Absolutely. Depending on what it is. I have an autographed Manny Machado jersey. Yeah, that can be about $5 right there. Anyway, but yeah, you know, if they would have gone to Vegas or something like that, I would still support the team. It's still my team. So I'm not concerned about that as much. But I really care about the stadium. I do genuinely think that has a huge impact on the level of fandom that I am. And I care more about that than I do about the city, which, again, I'm probably in the minority there. And I'm sure if I live there, I might have a different stance. But point is that everything looks promising. But you know how life goes. As soon as you have everything clicking, you know you're in a good relationship, you have a nice car, you got a nice house, boom, all your loved ones die. You know, nothing can be too perfect.
That was very morbid. Yeah, went for an extreme there.
Especially with the election coming up, that's my headspace. But anyway, to daydream, I'll say, what I am really excited about is returning is Ramon Urias, who was a 2022 Gold Glove winner, and Jorge Mateo. They are two guys that, like, Urias did win the Gold Glove, but they're two guys that I feel are just so completely underrated. I feel like always the Orioles players, except for Cal Ripken, have been so underrated, and I really like those guys. I really enjoy watching them play. They seem to be kind of more of the old school mentality of actual baseball players instead of, you know, multi-million drama queens, but I'm really excited, and I hope they keep doing as good as they have, and especially Mateo, because he's kind of been reduced to, like, I'd say the role that Steve Pierce used to have, where he's kind of the backup utility guy, and I honestly think he could be a starter, especially if you put him on a team like the Padres or the Rockies or somebody like that. He should definitely be a starter in that situation. So that's two underdogs that I really am excited about. And then obviously Colton Cowser, who just, I didn't really expect him to get an opening day spot, and he earned it with like a 972 on base percentage during spring training. And I know it's just spring training. I usually never pay attention to that, but that's pretty damn impressive. No errors, nothing. So he's excited. And somebody, even last year when he was doing pretty good for us, I still didn't really give him credit. And I wouldn't say he's underrated like the other two, because he hasn't had as much time, but yeah, it's pretty impressive, and somebody I really don't even, like, think about at all.
Now, you had mentioned quite a few times the Orioles new ownership change. Now, I know the ownership change won't fully take effect until what? Maybe the very, very end of the year, because typically those things take a little bit of time. I'm not 100%
sure on that.
They're not instantaneous, is what I'm saying. There's going to be a little bit of a time. There's going to be a transition here between the ownership groups. Yeah. So with that being said, a lot of Angels fans have been wanting Artie Moreno to sell the team, right? And I think the bulk of that's for off the field issues. The one good thing about the Orioles, they don't have a lot of off the field drama in the sense of, you know, players overdosing on drugs given by team physicians, you know, mistreatment of minor leaguers, at least publicly, things like that. There's a laundry list of things and reasons why Angels fans hate Artie Moreno. So with that being said, there's another vocal majority of fans who are like, oh, well, we don't know. What if the Angels get a new owner and they're just as bad and they don't spend money? And to that, I always say, well, Artie Moreno spends money, sure, except not this offseason. And that's fine. But I always say Artie Moreno spends money, but the Angels don't win because he spends money. And they haven't won in like a decade, even though he spends money. So what is your major concern about the Orioles' new ownership? Is there one thing in particular? Because your previous ownership wasn't investing a ton of money in payroll either. You know, you guys did let some key free agents walk away. So are you worried about that?
No, there's two major things that really are equal for me that I'm afraid of. One, like I said, is the stadium. So a big reason of why, like you said, I was pretty much always an Orioles fan, but a big part of why I had the switch over is because the fans actually got taken care of. You know, they used to have really cool programs, and unfortunately they don't even have these anymore, but they'd have really cool programs and incentives. So if you went to see all the minor league stadiums, then you'd get another extra prize. They actually give you really cool stuff. Like if it's your first time there, they'll give you a nice little most valuable fan, and you sign your name and it's dated and has the Oriole little seal on. You know, they really take care of you, and they really took care of the stadium. A lot of Oriole fans hated Peter Angelos. They were screaming for him to sell the team for literally decades. I never understood that. I really, really liked him. I think he was one of the all-time best owners. And again, I'm probably in the minority on that. But like I said, I chose to be a fan of that organization based on a lot of what he was doing. So to just say that, oh, I'm, you know, I think this is why I liked it. No, I know that's why I chose that team. It meant that much to me. And I'm afraid that the stadium is not going to get taken care of as well. I mean, if we know anything from San Diego, Dean Spanos just let Qualcomm fall to complete ruins, and that stadium deserved much better.
Yeah, but there was a big difference between Qualcomm, which at that time was still a pile of crap, compared to other NFL stadiums. I mean, hey, I had some good, you know, I had some good memories of Qualcomm too. But there's a big difference between Camden Yards in Major League Baseball and Qualcomm Stadium in the NFL. Because no matter which way you slice it or dice it, when you think about, you know, cathedrals of baseball, Camden Yards is up there.
Yeah. But, you know, like you said, Qualcomm was much worse off than Camden is right now, but it shouldn't have been. There's no weather. You don't have to worry about 90% of the issues that you do in Camden. So it's very easy to see it fall into that same disrepair. And then, you know, also how the fans were getting treated is another huge thing.
That's fair. Could you imagine if, like, Qualcomm Stadium was, like, on the East Coast or something where you got to deal with ice and sleet and hail and, you know.
Yeah.
It's freezing. Can you imagine how the concrete would have worn down quicker there?
Yeah.
Because really, Qualcomm, the only big issue was like the concrete was like sub-bleached.
Well, I heard so many different things. Who knows what's true? People were trying to lobby against it for so long. So who knows what actually was the issue? I heard one person say that there's obscene amounts of mold throughout the locker room. And I think that I'm pretty sure at some point Philip Rivers would have been like, hey, I have 57 kids at home. I can't die to mold poisoning. We got to take care of this. Right. So I don't think I'm buying it at all that.
I remember like at the very, very like end of Qualcomm, somebody took photos. I don't know if it was like an Urban Explorer or somebody. It might've just been somebody from the Union Tribune. I don't know if you saw the photos, went down to like the Padres old dugout. And they like took photos and like, oh, it's still here. And like, it was so cool to see that. But
I did see that.
That's a topic for another day. I'm sure you can find the photos on the internet. But okay. So
and then the other concern, because I said there was two. The other concern is just you know, we saw what happened with the Padres. They don't spend so spending money is not a huge key because the Orioles spent a ton of money getting Chris Davis, right? That doesn't guarantee anything. And as you know, Mike Trout has had his injury. So even if you spend that money, it doesn't matter. I'm more concerned with them just not trying at all. I'm talking about all the way through the minors, nothing, where they're there not to win a championship. They're there just to say like, hey, we are a baseball team. Come see a baseball game. You know, that's how the Padres were for so long. And I, as we've said, I'm not super concerned with the record. Obviously, I don't want another 100 loss season. But, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, that's not a huge concern to me. Of course, you want them to win every year, but that's not realistic. So as long as they are still trying and you can see the team has effort and the coaches and everybody else cares, you know, that's what I really care about. And there's no guarantee that's going to happen anymore. I mean, I think our first sign would be if they fire Brandon Hyde, because I think he's obviously established himself as a good manager and he should be there. And we'll see what happens. Mike Elias has obviously been a good GM as well. So if the owner wants to bring in somebody, you know, like freaking Jace Tingler, someone of that terrible stature, I think that's really going to set the tone that, yeah, this is not good ownership.
All right, so I am going to ask you a couple of questions about the Orioles, and you're going to give me a yes or no answer, okay?
All right.
Corbin Burnes, your new pitcher, will be a top 10 pitcher in the American League this year.
I think that's a safe yeah, because there's not a lot of other great stars right now.
That's fair, especially with, you know, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, he's not pitching at all this year, but even if he was, he's now on the Dodgers. So you don't have to worry about him anymore. He was kind of a lock top 10, right? Gerrit Cole is going to be missing substantial time for the Yankees. Say what you want about him. What's that?
He hasn't been the Gerrit Cole that we saw, you know.
Well, he won a Cy Young last year. So, you know.
Yeah, but who knows? He wasn't the same that he was in Houston.
That's fair. Tyler Glass now is now on the Dodgers. So there's another guy who, you know, has he's kind of in that conversation. Verlander's back with the Astros. Another guy who you're, you know, probably not a top 10. So I agree with you. Corbin Burnes, top 10, yes. Okay. Adley Rutschman will be a top 5 catcher. In Major League Baseball, not in the American League.
I would say he'll be top 3 for sure, as long as he stays healthy. And, God, I hope for so many reasons. But, you know, like, he is such a great person off the field, too. That's the main thing. Like, I want to see John Means stay healthy because I like him and he's a good player, blah, blah, blah. But comparing the two off the field, yeah, Adley Rutschman is way better, right? So I really hope he stays healthy. And that's something the Orioles always struggle with, is that the big stars, you know, think about 2014 when we were about to go to the World Series. If we could just get through those fuckers in Royal Blue. No Manny. No Chris Davis. So that's a big problem that happens to us, is that our stars don't stay healthy. So I'm really hoping that if he's healthy, yeah, I don't think there's any catcher that has any competition to him.
Cedric Mullins will be an all-star this year.
That's a tough one.
Hey, he's been really good and consistent the last couple years.
He's a stud.
He came out of nowhere, too. I mean, you know, he wasn't a guy who was highly touted by Major League Baseball.
I'm going to say no. I'm honestly going to say no.
Okay. All right. I love Cedric Mullins.
There's two things there, because does he earn the spot or does he get outvoted because nobody ever votes for the Oriole players in any circumstance?
Yeah, I don't know, because last year the Orioles were one of the more popular teams in Major League Baseball because they're young, they're exciting. People like young and exciting. They're a group of kids who look like they have fun all the time. People love the energy. So I don't know. I think the Orioles are going to have a lot more eyes on them than you're giving him credit for. I think a lot of generic MLB fans will give him some attention. All right, so this one is a just AL East question. And normally the short answer to this is yes. But the NL West is going to put up some competition this year. Okay, the AL East will be the best division in Major League Baseball this year, like it has been the last, like, decade.
I'm going to say they're the toughest league in the American League, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, in the American League, I can buy that, but I don't think in baseball. Yeah. I think in baseball, it's going to be the NL West. I mean, you got the Diamondbacks, who, of course, made the World Series last year. They just signed Jordan Montgomery, so they're going to have a great rotation, in theory. Obviously, the Dodgers are going to dodge it. They'll be great until October starts, even better. That's what we all hope for. Padres might actually put up a fight this year. Really, the Giants are going to be sneaky good. It's everyone but Colorado. So, and this year, really the only team that I can see giving Baltimore a run for their money is the Yankees. And with Gerrit Cole being out for a substantial period of time, I don't think the Yankees are going to be the competition that people think they're going to be. I think Baltimore could very well run away with the division unless Tampa Bay –
Tampa Bay. So that's what I was going to say.
The Red Sox aren't going to be competition this year.
No. But yeah, I think probably it's going to go Toronto last, Red Sox fourth, and then either one of those three teams left could be, you know, any of those positions. But what I would really, really like to see is that I'm wrong and that the Yankees are last. That would be badass.
Hey, if the Yankees are in last place and somehow, some way, the Dodgers are in last place, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, that'd be beautiful.
I'll take that. All right, last question I have for the yes or no's before we start, and then we start wrapping up here. The Orioles will make the playoffs in 2024.
No.
No, didn't even let me finish the question. Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think what we just talked about, they're going to be in the top three. They're probably going to lead the division most of the year. I don't think they're going to do it this year.
You don't think they make the wild card?
Maybe wild card, but I you know me. I never consider that making the playoffs. That's a gimme.
Fair enough. Especially because now there are three wild card spots. I think for sure the Orioles make the playoffs. But
yeah,
division, that's always difficult. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, no matter what, they are always pesky. It doesn't matter if they can trade everyone away. And they literally have our moms on the team. They have your neighbor's mom on the team. You know what I mean? They have people who've never picked up a baseball or they haven't picked up a baseball in 15 years. All of a sudden, they're all-star caliber people. Rays tend to do that all the time.
I know. So you can never count all of their 900 fans, man.
Yeah, exactly. And their beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
Best ballpark in baseball. You've never been to Tropicana Field, right?
I've had the opportunity and chose not to just because I saw how crappy it was.
That's fair. I've been there, and it's worse than Oakland for sure. By far the worst stadium in baseball. Oakland's, like, fine for what it is. People are like, well, Oakland sucks. It's like, yeah, of course it sucks. But, I mean, it's the last multi-purpose stadium that was used in baseball and the NFL. So, like, for what it was, it was fine. It was fine. It wasn't great. It was fine.
Plus, Tropicana's a crap hole.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tropicana would, like, suck you from the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, it was always crappy. It always sucked. It feels like just a dingy warehouse if you're just walking around the concourse. It's not that great. It looks like a generic convention center, really. Like, if you're just on the concourse, that's what it is. And then all of a sudden, there's a random bat ray tank. You're like, great, I'm going to go touch the bat ray.
What the fuck is that, man?
Yeah, I don't know. Trying to give the kids something to do.
Yeah, I don't watch enough Rays baseball, but I'm sure at some point one of those Rays has passed on. And I'm not PETA here. I am just saying perfectly natural causes, right? But at some point, statistically, one of them has to have died during the game. And let's just say it's floating. You know a ball has hit it in some way. Like,
it has a net over. Idea. It has a net over.
I'm not saying from the field, you know, somebody in the stands at some point has to have something, you know.
Probably. It's like a mini bat game, just pa 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 pa. Something.
Yeah, exactly. You know it has to have happened. Especially in fucking Florida. Go on.
Oh yeah. Florida man chokes out a bat ray because his hot dog was cool. That's 100% the headline. I guarantee you can look it up right now on Google. It's going to come up. I promise. All right.
Yes, for real, to answer your question, the Orioles may be in playoffs through wild card, like you said, but I don't think they're going to go in. If they do, I think it's going to be an early round exit. I think super bold prediction, right? Orioles start out number one. They're doing good. They kind of slump, kind of come back, and then they're trailing off at the end. The complete opposite was going to happen with the Rockies. This is the bold prediction. Ready? Rockies are going to be terrible, tanking suddenly at the end, gain speed, and they'll also make the wild card spot.
I know. All of a sudden, we're going to see a bunch of comments. They never bring this guy on again. The Rockies?
Watch, if it happens, I'll be a genius.
That's fair. You're either a genius or a jackass, as they say. So I guess we will see. And the good news, we won't have to wait long because baseball is, from when you guys are listening to this, we're most likely listening to this tomorrow. So we are super excited for that. William, last thing I got for you. Opening day, Patrick Sandoval, Corbin Burns, give me your score prediction. I'm not going to put you on the spot for the series. Give me a score prediction. I'll say I think – the Angels are going to lose on opening day because that is what they do typically. They almost always lose opening day. I think we lose 5-3.
I don't even know who's on the roster for that. I know Trout's there, and I think that's literally the only player I know, so I can't even really give you an answer.
That's fair. I mean, it's a bunch of younger guys this year. I mean, I don't know if you got to go to an Angels-Orioles game last year. But, Logan O'Hoppe's there, Mickey Moniak's there, Zach Neto, Aaron Hicks, you'd know him.
Oh, Hicks went to the Angels?
Yeah, I think he's projected to be the right fielder. They also have Miguel Sano. He just made the roster.
Really?
The pitching staff is guys that you would know. You know, Tyler Anderson, Reed Detmers, Griffin Canning, Patrick Sandoval. So those guys have been around for a couple years. So that's why I assume you would know them.
If it's on there's the West,
really like no giant names that you would know besides like Rendon and Trout, unless you're like religiously watching the Angels. You know, like I said, Logan O'Hoppe is the only other guy who maybe I could see you knowing, but I guess not. But Taylor Ward, he's been there for a couple years.
I know him. Yeah.
I
don't know what position he plays though.
He's an outfielder now. He was brought up as a catcher, moved to an infielder, and then they threw him in outfield. And he's kind of been there for the last
year. Oh, you know, speaking of Anthony Bamboon, do you remember him? He was in the Angels organization.
I remember him.
So he was with the Orioles last year, and he came up a few times. Wasn't great on the Orioles, but he had an incredible season with the minor leagues and helped the Tides win the championship.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, he definitely strikes me as what they call a 4A-er. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, too good for AAA, not good enough for the major leagues. But if they made a 4A, he'd be the guy.
I had never heard of him before he got in. And then I saw he was on the Angels. I was like, what? I've probably seen this dude hundreds of times and didn't remember him at all.
Yeah, he was definitely there at a couple games you and I went to.
That's funny.
Just he has a very, very – he was a very forgettable player. But, I mean, definitely has like an unforgettable name.
Well, apparently not, because I had never heard it before.
That's fair. All right, William, where can our audience find you if they want to get more William content?
I have my own YouTube channel where I do gaming. It's called William Cannoli. And then I have a channel that's going to be my own podcast that's not sports related. Fernando's actually the first guest star on there. It's called Unhinged Outburst. That'll be going up sometime, probably later this week. We had a lot of fun there. Surprise Fernando with the topic, and you can see his reaction in the first few seconds says all how the episode is gonna go. So it's pretty good.
That's fair. Anytime you want me back on, just let me know.
All right.
Well, on behalf of all of us here at Halos in the Infield, William, thanks for joining us once again. And for everyone, enjoy opening day, and we we'll see you back here
soon. Not everyone, not Angel fans, don't enjoy it.
Bye, everyone.